Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we're convinced the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, is the blueprint and the solutions to the problems we face. God, not government, is the answer. A good, honest, moral people can make America moral, which will, in turn, make America great again. The checks and balances the Founding Fathers brilliantly put in place, one of the great ways that we can get involved and make a difference. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We absolutely hope and pray you had a delightful Thanksgiving weekend full of gratitude, appreciation, and God, family, country. I know I did. By the way, President Donald Trump, it's kind of a strange thing. He gave a presidential Thanksgiving address, if you will, kind of an inaugural Thanksgiving address. The mainstream press literally ignored that address, and they talked about how he spoke to the Coast Guard or whatever, and all of his comments were out of context when you don't know who he was talking to, and it seemed very confusing, and that's exactly the way the mainstream press wants to make it. They want to attack on every front. It's sad. For example, YouTube, in a tweet, shared an anti-Thanksgiving video by some Indian women that reads Thanksgiving as a loaded word. Wow, all I can tell you is the mainstream press just will not quit. Can't we stop for a day? I mean, even in wars, you hear at Christmas, they lay down their weapons for a few hours to celebrate the birth and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can't we do a little bit of that in America on Thanksgiving and set aside the divisions? You would pray that we could, but no. They even attacked the Thanksgiving holiday. Now, I don't dismiss the wrongs in America. We've been wrong to the black people. We've been wrong to the Indian or the Native American people. We've been wrong to the Mormons. We have some mistakes in our past that we're not proud of, folks. Let's be clear. We reject slavery of any kind, including the slavery of the IRS. The unconstitutional weaponized government agency literally heaps on all of us today. Okay, slavery of any kind is evil, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's taking people's land, it's all wrong. We reject that. However, let's not let those wrongs eclipse the great things that America has done. It literally set the standard as a light or a beacon on the hill that America is great because America turns to God, not government. America is great because we have free speech, because we have the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, which absolutely can keep government in check. We have so many blessings in America, and even though there's been wrongs to many people, the Mormons, by the way, got the worst of it, more than the blacks, more than the Indians. The Mormons got abused worse than all of them put together, if you go study history, by the way. And I happen to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I am LDS, or I'm Mormon, so I know the rich history of our people and of the sadness that they experienced as they even went to Van Buren, the president at the time, and he says, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. Imagine that in America. All right. So we understand the wrongs that have been committed and we don't dismiss those, but we do realize that, you know what, no matter how people receive the freedom they have, no matter the missteps along the way, Mormons, the Native Americans, blacks, hey, they're all better off because of this great nation. We're all better off because of it. That does not dismiss the wrongs committed in any way. But let's acknowledge the truth and let's put it in proper perspective. That's the least we can do for the sacrifice of so many people along the way in the Civil War, in our Revolutionary War, right on through to today. I'm not defending war. I am defending the Prince of Peace. And we've got more peace because of America, even though we've got our, you know, military literally running around in endless wars. And I again say that's wrong. But let's not deny there's more peace because of America, because we've turned to God. There's more blessings as a result. Let's not dismiss that reality. But by the way, even Donald Trump acknowledges this. Trump mentioned God 9 times in his speech to the nation and prayer twice in his message. He asked the American people to turn to God in prayer. The mainstream press ignored all of it. Obama only acknowledged God once and never even mentioned prayer, in contrast. So you know what? Trump's got maybe some problems, but he's got a lot of good that he's doing as well. Let's not dismiss any of that. Trump banishing Barack Hussein's Obama's memos and regulations. That's good news. We're starting to have less regulation and less government oppression. We got a long way to go, but that is good news. By the way, there was a GoFundMe campaign over Thanksgiving where a homeless man, he spent $20 to help a woman, keep her safe. He said, lock yourself in your car, ma'am. I'll go get you gas. She turned around and repaid it. They've raised almost $300,000 for him since. And I pray that it's a genuine story. We saw it from the mainstream press. We pray that it can really achieve what the goals are. We need to realize that we can solve so many things in the private sector. Good, honest, charitable Americans caring for one another. That's the Christian, the American way. And we don't even need government to be involved at all. By the way, they say Cyber Monday, that's today, forecast to be the largest online shopping day in U.S. history. They say up to $6 billion. Wow. Anyway, second hour on Friday. We were live, by the way, for Thanksgiving and for the day after on Friday. Both days we are live. We had Richard Mack on with us, and we talked about the sad tragedy in Utah. Utah sold $3.4 million in alcohol sales at 45 government-owned liquor stores, setting a record for Thanksgiving. It's tragedy. They say half of U.S. cancer deaths are blamed on unhealthy behavior, maybe like drinking so much, you know? And it's sad to me that the government participate with their out-of-control taxes in the spoils of alcohol sales. And then when car crashes happen and when abuse happens to women and everything else because of alcohol, is government responsible for that? I submit in part they are. You would say, Sam, well, prohibition doesn't work. That's right. I agree. But it doesn't mean that the government needs to be involved in the peddling of alcohol. And now they're peddling pot around the country as well. All right. I guess this Disney guy leaves after missteps. That's what they call sexual abuse now, missteps. Wow. I say he's innocent until proven guilty. But again, this is everywhere. And it's just, it's not the cause. It's the effects of us turning our backs on God, isn't it? The answer, turn back to God. All right. Jesse Jackson announces he has Parkinson's disease again. I don't like Jesse. I don't agree with him on anything. But I will say our prayers are with him and his family. What a horrible tragedy, a disease that we wouldn't want to affect anyone. And there's a Wing Point golf course in Salt Lake City. It's been subsidized by the taxpayers for a long time. And now it looks like they're going to be pulling the plug on it. They realize what a failure it was, and that's great news. Not because we want golf courses to fail, but we realize it's not the proper role of government to run them. Hopefully that'll happen in Kirk Crosby's city, Cedar Hills, as well. They got a golf course millstone around their neck, too. By the way, the massive Bible Museum opened in D.C. We think that's fantastic news, by the way. I'd love to go to that. It's huge, they say. Also, Thanksgiving, we want to celebrate it as a truly American and uniquely Christian holiday. Amen to that. That's a recap of Friday's broadcast. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And Lowell Nelson with campaignforliberty.com. No, .org with us. Campaignforliberty.org with us as well. Welcome back. Hope you guys had a delightful Thanksgiving, sir.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Good to be with you. Yes, in the Thanksgiving season, the holiday was delicious with the family and food and fun.
Amen to that. Now, Joel Skousen wrote an incredible column in his World Affairs Brief. It comes out every Friday. Commentary and information on a troubled world. Just great stuff from Joel Skousen. Anyway, it came out last Friday, and he had a column that I just couldn't let go of. Joel Skousen's Thanksgiving column, worldaffairsbrief.com. Check it out. It's incredible. Joel actually goes off and talks about things he's thankful for, just like we did, Kurt. We talked about the things that we were thankful for. And I talked about, I don't know if you got a chance to hear this, Lowell, but I talked about the 25 words. If you could write, if you were a prisoner of war and you could write 25 words to you, the world, to your family, to whoever, what would the 25 words be? There was a church leader that talked about that one time, and I wrote up my 25 words. It took me several days. It was quite a painstaking, reflective exercise for me, but I wrote up those 25 words. When we come back, I'll tell you what they are, then we'll get into Joel's column and more, because Joel really nailed it. He took a lot more than 25 words, but it was sure good. We'll talk about that, and then we got to talk about the ills of war that are happening. At Thanksgiving and Christmas, what a better time to talk about peace, huh? Or is there a better time, I should say? Lowell, Sam, and Kurt on your radio. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
We are talking about Thanksgiving, a uniquely American and uniquely Christian holiday. We're talking about what 25 words would you use if that's all you were permitted to write. You were prisoners of war. What would you do so that somebody would know you're alive? So that you could give guidance to your wife or to your spouse, to your children, to your loved ones, to family, friends, acquaintances, to the world. What would you say? I actually agonized over this for several days, and here's what I've come up with. Keep the commandments. That means the commandments of God. Remember Jesus. Oh, it's remembering him that's key. Forgive completely. Repent daily. Pray always. Follow the Spirit. Serve willingly. Say thank you. Love others, return with honor, smile. Those are the 25 words that I would write. And I'm telling you right now, nobody would question if I was alive if I wrote that, because they'd know my heart, they'd know my soul. Even you listeners who may not know me personally know that I'm a strong believer in God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. That's the reason for this broadcast. When you hear those 25 words, you would know that it came from me. Nobody could have wrote that in my stead. Or nobody could have written that, I should say, in my stead. Anyway, those are my 25 words. But we're talking about Joel Skousen and his Thanksgiving column, worldaffairsbrief.com. It's incredible. Before we get into that, any comment on the 25 words there, Lowell?
Well, I love the challenge. And over the break, I began writing a few words here and there. I got eight words, I guess. Love one another, love God, and Jesus Christ lives. So, yeah, I'm well on my way. I mean, it's going to take me a couple of days, too, but I think it's very difficult. It's more difficult to write, a one-page essay than a 14-page report. I mean, or to give a two-and-a-half-minute talk than to give a 15-minute talk, because you have to focus, you have to concentrate, and I think this is a noble exercise to try to identify the things that are most important to you as a person and what you believe and important to your family. So it's a great challenge, and I would make the same challenge to everybody who's listening.
And I went into great detail last week. I don't know if you have time. You might listen to one of the archives or whatever. But on Thanksgiving Day, I broke these down and explained exactly what I thought about, why I used those 25 words, what it all means, what it all encompasses. I got some calls, and some people said, Sam, remember that people can change. Well, that's what the repentance, or repent daily, and the forgive completely are all about. I agree with that. So you got to think about the words that I wrote, and you got to think very creatively about what it all encompasses. It's the kind of thing where it's very symbolic, and it's multifaceted and multi-level, and it's, for example, you know, keep the commandments, remember Jesus. You know, when you say Jesus lives, that no doubt it talks about his birth, it talks about his resurrection, it talks about studying his life. If you really remember Jesus, when you think deeper, you got to get acquainted with him, right? And so anyway, I could go on forever about it, because I think it's a delightful, fascinating, very enlightening topic. I'm not saying my words need to be anybody else's words, but I am saying I really spent time on that years ago, and I brought it forward this Thanksgiving because I think it's relevant. Joel Skousen has an incredible Thanksgiving column where he says he's thankful for a lot of different things. He says he's thankful for the wisdom of the founders and the framers. Amen to that, Lowell.
Absolutely right, Sam. One of the things he mentioned was speaking about the wisdom of the founders and the framers, he said they had a quote, innate suspicion of centralized government, end of quote. Right? And so that concept really was revolutionary in the 1700s. We had people all over the world used to living in monarchies, right, where somebody had the divine right of kings and ruled with an iron fist. And for people to come along, you know, like John Locke and the other reformers, people like, Wycliffe and Tyndale and Calvin and others, you know, to come along and claim that they have a freedom of conscience, and that they can believe what they feel inspired to believe, rather than just believing what the priests and the church leaders told them that they ought to believe. Then John Locke comes along and he talks about the rights of men and humankind, and this idea that our rights come from God, not man. That was a revolutionary concept. And that government is simply a necessary evil, and that it needs to be chained down. You know, in the Federalist Papers, they talked a lot about the need for chains on the government. They said, I think it was Madison who said, you know, if men were angels, there'd be no need for government, because they recognized that men are not angels, and you know, we lust for power, the carnal nature within man, lust for power and authority, and so we need the chains of government to bind the government down from mischief. So I thought that was a very insightful statement that Joel made, that the founders, the framers, they had this innate suspicion of centralized government.
And we can see hindsight with 2020 that innate suspicion was spot on. Many people think we're free, and you know what? We have some freedoms, and thank heavens for that, but we're missing quite a bit as well. Several years ago, Joel Skousen's prayers, he says, became more specific, and he's been praying that would be successful in preserving the freedoms we have left and reclaiming those we have lost. What an incredible point. I agree.
Well, yeah, and in fact, I didn't mean to mislead you there. I'm not sure that Joel said that, but that's what I said. Tom Sawyer, he found out he couldn't pray a lie, right? And if you read Mark Twain, that's what Tom Sawyer found out. You cannot pray a lie. And what I found several years ago was that as I was giving thanks for the many, many freedoms, the liberties that we have in this country, my mind, at every time I said that, my mind turned to the freedoms that we had lost, right? I mean, and I began reflecting on holy cow, we have lost so many of our freedoms. And then I couldn't pray that lie anymore, because we don't have all the freedoms now that we had 200 years ago. And so I found myself just thanking my Heavenly Father for what few freedoms and liberties we have left remaining to us, but sincerely praying that we could reclaim, be successful in reclaiming the freedoms that we have lost.
Because amen to that. So Lowell, lost. Joel, pretty close, right? Anyway, good point,
yeah,
though.
That's right.
And Joel is thankful for our anti-establishment religious heritage, though. He focused on that, too. And a lot of these thoughts go hand in hand as we think about his column, too.
That's right. You know, I like what he said about the fact that he thought it would provide, you know, going back to this idea, that, thinking about the few remaining freedoms we have, he thought it would provoke introspection among our fellow worshipers in our congregations if we, you know, when we were asked to pray in our congregation, that we would be thankful for what few remaining freedoms we have, rather than just thanking God for the free country we live in, but to be accurate and to be instructional. And, you know, and so I agree with him on that. There are precious few people who will actually say that in a public congregational prayer, but I really appreciate it when I hear people do that. And that is kind of an anti-establishment religious heritage.
Yeah, and he talks about free thinkers, how they thought outside of the box. You know, it traditionally used to be that let the leaders read you the Bible. Then the thought was, no, we want to read the Bible ourselves. And there's all kinds of free thinking ideas that eventually led us to the revolution of the creation of America. And we need to be grateful for that. Joel's also thankful for the World Wide Web. And this is something very fascinating, Lowell.
Well, in my opinion, he's thankful for it because it enables us, Sam, to spread unpopular and controversial truth. Those are his words, to spread unpopular and controversial truth.
By the way, like everything we talk about on Liberty Roundtable Live and Liberty News Radio.
Exactly. And so the web is, to the current day, what the printing press was to Gutenberg's contemporaries of the 1400s, Sam. It enables us, and as, just as it enabled the people of his day to spread the truth of the Word in the Bible, the good Word of God in the Bible around, then and the other free-thinking ideas that they, you know, the reformers spread, they were able to do so effectively because of the printing press. Now, we're able today to do the very same thing because of the World Wide Web, as we spread around these unpopular and controversial truths, Sam.
And God-given truths, and that's what Thanksgiving's all about. Joel says he's thankful for private and home schools, and boy, do I agree with that. That's the only real, that and the radio and the web are the only real, in my opinion, ways to pass along free-thinking ideas these days.
Well, he's exactly right, Sam. You know, that was one of the two reasons I decided to become an activist in the 1980s. I felt then, and I still feel, that it is immoral, Sam, to require those who home and private school their children to also bear the expense of paying for the education of their neighbors.
I hear that. I could get rich if I didn't have to do all that at the same time. All right, Lowell Nelson with us in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
We've got a lot to cover and precious little time to cover it. We're continuing our Thanksgiving coverage by telling you that it's a very unique American and Christian holiday. And that's why I want to extend it. Joel Skousen is thankful for the workings of conscience. It is the calm assurance that always accompanies truth. He's grateful and blessed with this voice, quiet voice of conscience. He says that it edifies. It forms the basis of the golden rule. And it's a lifelong quest to learn to follow conscience. Anyway, incredible summation by Joel Skousen about conscience, Lowell.
Well, and he makes the point when you listen to him and when you read his column that yeah, there's no way that he or any other person can warn and forewarn us to be prepared for every eventuality, anything that might be coming down the pike at us. And so what he does instead, and wisely so, is encourage his listeners and his readers to learn to listen to his conscience. Each of us has a conscience. Let's learn to listen to it. And then your conscience will direct you and help you, make the necessary preparations for whatever's coming down the pike, whether it's an economic collapse, whether it's a flood, whether it's an earthquake, we just never know. But one's conscience can help to prepare a person. And so learning to listen to that conscience is a very worthwhile and a lifelong endeavor.
And while everybody spends their time a-shopping, spending themselves into oblivion, we summarize our Thanksgiving coverage by this final statement. The practical meaning of Thanksgiving is the triumph of capitalism over the failure of collectivism in all of its forms. And that's really the point. They want you to believe that, capitalism means that it's just naked capitalism, where it's just spend and get and conquer your enemies based on wealth and finance. It isn't true. True capitalism has a moral component to truly enable you to be thankful for God. God gives you means. And with those means, ought we spend our time, our efforts, in other words, use our gain in the service of and the care of others. Bearing one another's burdens is kind of the key of Thanksgiving in my mind. And capitalism in our day has been perverted in its understanding. But I believe it has this serious moral component that we celebrate at Thanksgiving. And your conscience will be your guide in that and the use of your wealth as well. Well,
yeah, let me just flesh that out just a hair. Capitalism, you know, when we focus on the benefit to the capitalist, if you focus only on that, then you can get a distorted view. But when you think of what the capitalist provides his fellow citizens, then you realize that it really is a blessing and a benefit to all of humanity to have a capitalist provide a product or a service, right? I mean, he gets paid for his, for whatever product or service he provides, but the people who purchase that product or service are doing so of their own will, their own free will and choice, their own volition. They're choosing to part with a little bit of their hard-earned money because they value the product or the service more than they value the money in their hand. And so it's a mutually beneficial transaction that benefits both parties. Walk away from that transaction feeling good. They think they've both benefited from the transaction. So if you, and so that's the reason why capitalism truly is a benefit to our fellow human beings. It's not all about greed and benefit to the big money bag stockholder or whatever. True capitalism benefits both parties in voluntary exchange. And that's the point I wanted to make there about capitalism. It's not about greed. It's about serving your fellow man and providing products and services that benefit them.
That's true capitalism in the true definition. If you take the perverted capitalist mode, though, it's the engine that fuels wars and destruction and the 1%. Okay, that's when it's turned on its head. They call it the naked capitalist in that sense, where there's no moral component to things. And I submit to you, that's not true capitalism at all, was my point.
Good and point.
People need to understand that too. But look, very few people know, on the opposite side of peace and Thanksgiving, very few people know that Saudi Arabia is bombing Yemen and that the United States is backing that bombing, Lowell.
It is truly a catastrophic event, Sam, and I find it amazing that the mainstream media refuses and has refused for over 2 years to cover this genocide, which is occurring right before our eyes and in Yemen. You know, when I was in grade school growing up, I learned about Hitler and Stalin, and I thought Hitler was the last of the bad guys, Sam. He, you know, purportedly killed 6 million Jews, and then he was defeated in war, and finally there's peace on earth, right? That's what I was taught growing up. He was the last of the bad guys. But this couldn't be any further from the truth, Sam. We have modern-day bad guys, and we have bad guys right now in our own U.S. government supporting Saudi Arabia with bombs and munitions so that they can wreak genocide on the people of Yemen. And, Ron Paul brings this to light in his column. Very few people know that the United States is helping Saudi Arabia bomb Yemen. They would have you, the Washington Post and other mainstream media would have you believe that the situation over there is complicated. It involves warring regional superpowers, terrorism, oil, and an impending climate catastrophe. They even throw that in there. And Ron Paul says, nope, it's simpler than that. The tragedy in Yemen is the result of foreign military intervention in the internal affairs of that country. And then he goes on to explain, how that came to be, and then asks a very important question, which is how in the world can the U.S. support Saudi Arabia, a tyrannical state with one of the worst human rights records on earth, as it commits genocide against the Yemeni people? You know, just last week, the U.N. Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs warned that Yemen faces the largest famine the world has seen for many decades, with millions of victims. The Red Cross has estimated about 1 million people are vulnerable to the cholera epidemic. And so why is there a cholera epidemic, you ask? Well, because the Saudi government, supported by the U.S. administration, has blocked every port of entry to prevent critical medicine from reaching the suffering Yemeni people.
And they would lie to you and say that's getting tough on, war or on the bad actors. The problem is that you got to ask yourself, why is the United States helping Saudi Arabia destroy Yemen? Right? It's killing 130 children a day.
It's horrific, Sam. Now, Ron Paul asked this question, the very question you just asked. Why Arabia in their genocide of the Yemeni people. And one of the political commentators over there named Marwa Osman, she's a Lebanese, she's a PhD candidate in Beirut, and she's a popular commentator over there. I'd never heard of her until yesterday, but she responded that there are, 450 billion reasons that Saudi Arabia gets support from the U.S. And she was referring to the $450 billion that was given to Trump on his recent visit to Saudi Arabia. Can you believe that, Sam? $450 billion. Trump goes to Saudi Arabia, has a big party, throws, you know, a throne for him or whatever, and he walks away with $450 billion. And that's one of the reasons why the U.S. is supporting Saudi Arabia in their genocide.
Yep, they're arming, they're training, they're funding. And, you know, we thought it would be different under Trump. On one hand, it looks like it might not be different, but I did get a headline that gave me some hope. And it says, Turkey says that the United States will stop arming Syrian Kurds.
Well, I find that very encouraging, too. It turns out that this correspondent from Beirut mentioned that just a week or two ago that the ISIS had been defeated in Syria and in Iraq. Now, why isn't this headline news? Because it certainly is to her.
It certainly is to any peace-loving people, because if that's really true, hey, we can quit arming, training, and funding so many people around the world, which usually turns out to be, you know, the so-called solution of today, which creates the problems of tomorrow, right?
Exactly, because we are arming Saudi Arabia, for example, and Saudi is beating up on Yemen. Why are they doing it? Well, it's because Al-Qaeda, one more step back. The Houthis have taken control of much of the country of Yemen. And it turns out that the Houthis, they occupy the northern part of Yemen, and they practice a form of Shia Islam that, you know, Saudi Arabia doesn't like. Because they don't like Shia, they like the other flavor of Islam, and so they want to beat up on the Houthis. And they're claiming that the Houthis' practice is tied to Iran.
But it all comes down to morality, ladies and gentlemen. If we teach the principles of the Prince of Peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the best way to help every nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
I submit there's no better way to help nations not fight and brawl and melt down than to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what we most certainly need to make sure we don't do is trade our liberty for security and pretend that if we somehow arm certain groups that it'll eventually help. What it will really do is it's the solutions of today, but it'll be the enemy in the next crisis of tomorrow. We've seen that pattern over and over and over. We need to reject war and be a peace-loving people, ladies and gentlemen. And I bring that up because this Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen is killing 130 children a day. People are starving and they're hungry, and we arm and train and fund, in my mind, the enemy here. Ron Paul points it out very well. Turkey, after Donald Trump's visit, says that, hey, the U.S. will stop arming the Syrian Kurds. I think that's good. But my fear is that we're just going to basically fund or pick somebody else to back. And so I hope it means less war, but I'm not too confident, lol.
Well, I am not too hopeful either, but the fact that ISIS has been defeated in Syria and Iran is good. Assad went to visit with the Russian president just last week, and it turns out that the Russian allies, the Syrian army, and the Hezbollah on the ground is basically responsible for defeating ISIS there in Syria. And I'm looking forward to maybe a little bit of peace breaking out in Syria in near.
And I hope we see it. But remember, prophecy tells us there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and it'll escalate. So, you know, even though I hope for some peace, and the key is for us to preach the gospel of Christ to the world, our nation is put upon a hill, a beacon upon a hill for that very purpose. That's kind of why we started out about this Thanksgiving discussion. But look, no matter what we do, unless we start obeying the commandments of God on an individual basis and on a basis of family, the fundamental need of society, things will not get better. You cannot turn your back on God. You cannot promote war and financial gain and all these different things, sexual abuse and letting people starve to death and violating this bear one another burdens commandment and expect things to go well. And for example, there's a new headline out across the world: women having fewer babies than ever. And I'm telling you, when we turn off the procreative power God has given us, and you want all the joy or the pleasure or whatever words you want to describe that come from that type of activity, but you reject the one man, one woman marriage that's ordained of God to bring children to the earth, and you deny the children, and then you engage in every form of abuse of that wonderful procreative power, but you deny the real benefits or real reasons or God-ordained purpose for that, I'm telling you, you will never be safe, prosperous, and peaceful under those conditions. Well, never. Just get that in everybody's mind, because I'm telling you, that's a reality check that we cannot avoid.
Well, we I totally agree, Sam. Putting it another way, wickedness never was happiness, right? And so when a person claims that they're happy, a true happiness only comes through obedience to commandments of God. Anytime we break those commandments, we break ourselves against the commandments, then we invite unhappiness into our lives. The only way to secure happiness for ourselves is to obey God's commandments. And so you can just go right to the Ten Commandments and read there, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, right? You don't hurt people, you don't take their stuff, and yet on a global scale, what we're seeing right before our eyes, ladies and gentlemen, in Yemen, in Syria, in Libya, in a number of countries in Africa, is continual war, killing people and taking their stuff. And that will result in unhappiness to thousands, literally millions of people because of, basically politicians and power-hungry and money-hungry people breaking the commandments of God, Sam.
Amen to that, Kurt. Do you want to chime in on this? I think this is a fundamental understanding, whether we're talking about Thanksgiving and peace, whether we're talking about these sad wars that are happening, The answer, in my opinion, is education. And the answer is to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And I know some would say, Sam, I'm just not as religious as you are. My response is, that's fine. That's why I need to share it with you. Because if you want solutions, you will not have any solutions if you leave that component out. You just will not. Anyway, any thoughts, Kurt?
As you look at where we are, I guess you'd say, in America and the world, there are pockets of hope, I guess you could say. You've got refreshing efforts, whether it's by people like Lowell and others to, make things better, whether it's politically or in any other area. But, man, sometimes you're, confronted by these areas of tragedy, like last weekend I was very near the Mandalay Bay shooting area, in the Vegas area. And, you're shocked with this idea that, hey, that happened right here. And you really look at it and you say, look, we got 10 commandments that have been put aside basically to say that, hey, we're just too advanced for that kind of thing in today's world. They rarely get brought up, and yet they're the, not 10 suggestions, the 10 commandments. And that is for a good society. And boy, oh boy, are they getting put aside, it seems to me.
Amen to that. Anyway, critical stuff, folks. And I'm telling you right now, when we have less babies, having fewer babies than ever, that's just not good for the children of God. All right, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, his name is Jamie Dimon. He said that he thinks President Trump will be a one-term president and lose in 2020. What do you think of that, Lowell?
Yeah, it's hard to say. There's still, 2.5-3 years to go before those kinds of decisions are made. I think it has a lot to do with what happens to a person's pocketbook. People tend, if they tend to be prosperous, they tend to go with the current president. If they tend to be hurting in their pocketbook, they tend to go for change. And, so it's going to depend a lot on things going forward. But this GOP, supposed tax cut, which really is just a tax increase in disguise on most middle-income Americans, it's not going to be very helpful. They're going to claim to have cut taxes, this huge tax reform bill. It's tweaking around the edges. It's not going to do anything substantive of any value, long-lasting value. So I think, it's not looking good for the current administration, because people, I think, will still be hurting in another 2 years from now. But, it's hard to say. The one thing I do want to say, Sam, about, what we've discussed this morning, in addition to the Thanksgiving column and in addition to our discussion about Yemen, is this a challenge? I would like to ask all of our listeners to call their congressman. Every person here in the United States, they have a senator and a representative, and just challenge everybody to call their senator, to call their representative, and to demand that we end our involvement in Yemen immediately. We stop supporting Saudi Arabia's bombing of Yemen, and let's get some help to the people there. For example, there's a group called Save the Children, Sam, that currently has 5 shipping containers full of life-saving food for sick and malnourished children. It's just those shipping containers are stuck in Aden because of road closures. And if the U.S. could simply persuade Saudi Arabia to stop bombing for a few weeks or whatever, we can get those life-saving products to the people, and we can stop this genocide of the people of Yemen. It's an urgent need, Sam, right now. And so please, everybody, call your senator and your congressman your representative, and let's see if we can get a ceasefire or something so that we can stop this genocide of the people of Yemen.
Wouldn't that be an incredible Christmas present, Lowell?
It would be awesome. Absolutely. So I'm going to make the call, Sam, and I urge each one of our listeners to do that. You're just bear in mind that your congressman may not realize what's happening in Yemen. I have tried to document. I've cited the Ron Paul column. I've cited the Ron Paul Liberty Report, talking to a correspondent right there in Beirut, Lebanon, and I've cited another gentleman. What was his name? Anyway, from the Juan, what was his name? Juan Cole, in the Mint Press News. I mean, the evidence is all around us of the destruction occurring in Yemen, and they may not know about it, but you need to tell them about it and get them to stop. One child every 11 minutes is dying right now, right today, and we can stop that if we can stop Saudi Arabia from bombing them and blockading the port.
The good news is that Americans understand where the solutions are. And that's one of the great takeaways, in my opinion, of this hour. We should be thankful for Thanksgiving for this. That is, we can look to the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. We can realize that, you know what? We've got the freest country on the face of the earth. And yeah, you know what? We've lost a lot of freedoms, no doubt about it. We need to pray to get them back. But we've got more freedoms than almost any nation in the world because we have the seeds to bring back what we've lost. Others might have more freedoms, it appears, on the surface, but they don't have the ability within the system to right the wrongs, to solve the problem. So we need to become a beacon on a hill, ladies and gentlemen, and we hope it starts in part with the Liberty Roundtable live broadcast. Lowell, any final quick thoughts?
No, that'll do me, gentlemen. Thanks for having me and for listening. We do need to help the people of Yemen, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do it.
Amen to that. Thank you, sir. Godspeed. All right, hour one in the can, hour two coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk radio always at your fingertips and always on tap when you're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. We do need your support. Remember, this is the Widow's Mite Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com, libertyroundtable.com, our talk show link as well. Donate and get involved in the solutions today, would you please? God, family, country, life, liberty, and property. To us, that is the key to success. And we declare this nation shall endure. Will you help?